Let's pray as we come to God's word. James writes, "If any of you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives it generously." Heavenly Father, we realise that the tongue is a small part of our body, yet with such significance to bring life or death. Help us to have your wisdom. Help us to learn more of how to speak for you. And we pray, Lord, that as we've just sung, that you'll indeed speak to us, that we may speak of you in living echoes of your tone. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we continue our little series in the book of Proverbs, and today we're looking at Proverbs and speech, and there's going to be some PowerPoint flashing up, so it's going to be a bit of a sermon not like any other, I think, that I've talked about. There's going to be lots of Bible references, and I thought of giving you all a bit of a bingo card, you know, and you could have crossed them off, but I realised then that you would just be interested in those little numbers on the pages and not really listening to what we're saying, so I can that idea. We're looking at Proverbs and speech today. I don't know if you realise this, but Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21 says this, that the tongue has power of life and death. The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit. Those who love giving life through the words that we speak will gain great enjoyment and satisfaction from it. But just think about it. The tongue has power of life and death in it. The little member in our mouths can either bring down someone or build them up. Give life, give death. And life words are words which are spoken of in the book of Proverbs that come not from folly, but from wisdom. And we're invited and have been invited over the past weeks to come and listen, to come and dine at Lady Wisdom's table and learn and understand. And there's two tables really that we can come and dine at. There's a Lady Wisdom, and then there's, I would call, Madame Folly. And Madame Folly, her end is destruction. Her end is foolishness. Her end is death words when it comes to speech. But take of the table of Lady Wisdom and learn from her, and we will speak well as the children of God. And God is speaking. God is speaking. We've noticed in previous weeks the foundation of our speech needs to be, firstly, to fear God, because that is the beginning of wisdom, to fear God. And that fearing of God rightfully puts us underneath his authority. If we're going to speak well for God, we need to first fear God. We need to revere him. We need to so delight in him that we would have him and his words at the centre of our thoughts and wanting to convey them to others. There's no end of words that are coming our way from the world that are contrary to God at the moment, particularly. But we as God's people firstly need to fear him, to revere him, to acknowledge him. And flowing from that is to listen to him, to listen to him, to listen to Lady Wisdom. And Lady Wisdom cries out in the streets. She raises her voice in the public squares, chapter 1, verse 20. In the head of the noisy streets she cries out. At the gateway of the city she makes her speech. Lady Wisdom is there for all who would listen to her. God has spoken. God speaks. So we're called in Proverbs chapter 22 to pay attention and listen to the sayings of the wise, to apply your hearts to what I teach, for it is pleasing when you keep them in your heart and have them ready on your lips, so that your trust may be in the Lord. I teach you today, even you, wise, godly counsel, words from God. Will the wise listen? Come and dine at Lady Wisdom's table. And of course we see the wisdom of God perfected. We see the knowledge of God walking and talking in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, Christ, God's full and final word spoken, in whom are all the treasures and wisdom of God, Christ, our wisdom. And there's a gracious invitation from the book of Proverbs and, of course, from Jesus himself to come and learn and listen like the wise person who builds his house on the words of Jesus, having listened but building on him. Wisdom. So we are to listen to God, because wise speech begins with fearing God and listening to him who is wisdom. So here's the thing. Are we listening to God? Are we taking in God's word? We've just heard from Richard and Jeanette how they are with the university students in Wollongong and Cumberland and around the world. They're sharing the good news of Jesus. They're sharing the word of God with people. The thing is, we can be sitting in church year after year after year and actually not really listening to the word of God all that well. Maybe the Bible at home is just gathering dust on our shelves. Maybe we're not in a small group reading the word of God with other people and not taking it in. But the wise person will fear God and listen to him. And wise speech begins with fearing him and listening. Well, the Bible's got a lot to say about speech, about the words that we use, and the book of Proverbs has got stacks of stuff. Correction, flattery, reproof, escalation of strife through words, enticement to sin through speech, and so on and so forth. But I want to end our time. Ooh, that's got your interest. I want to end our time today by looking at two words that are from Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, and they are life words and death words. Because these are the words that our tongue has power to convey and to give. Life words and death words. Death words and life words. So we're going to look at death words. And Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, "Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Reckless words pierce like a sword. We need to really understand the power of our words. Now, death words are words I would define as words that lead, instead of towards close and intimate relationship, death words are words that lead away from close, intimate relationship. Death words are words that are leading us into alienation from each other, and indeed alienation from God. Death words are words that lead to relational harm, relational distancing, relational death. That's what death words are. And let's look at a few of them. These words include demeaning words, laughing at people, intimidation, vilification, sneering, shaming others. There's verbal abuse of various kinds. There's bullying, victimisation, name-calling, manipulation, spreading rumours, gossip, threats, slander, and so on and so forth. On and on and on it goes, all from the little tongue that is within our mouth. Even the withdrawal of communication can lead to relational distancing. And of course, let's not just talk about verbal communication, because nowadays electronic or digital or cyber communication are increasingly being used. You know, there was a time when we picked up the telephone and actually dialed the number. You know, you used to have to turn your finger and you actually talked with somebody at the other end of the or you sat down at the dinner table and actually had a discussion with people. Oh, who would have thought that ever happened? But nowadays we're all on our little mobile phones texting and so on and so forth. Actually, somebody sent me a text this morning while I was in the middle... Oh, and a missed call. While I was in the middle of doing 8 a.m. church. Lucky I had it on silent. But look, most of us are just tied to this thing. And now, bullying, for example, is rife in our... There's 1 in 4 students in schools being bullied and 1 in 15 in the workplace, it's been estimated. They get bullied every year. And bullying is a huge problem in our community, and the internet and mobile phones and, Skype and all that sort of stuff, you know what I'm talking about. I think I've got the right terms. Instagram, oh, there you go. That probably ends the terminology that I understand. It's so lucky I've got a phone, isn't it, really? But anyway, internet and mobile phones are fast becoming one of the key tools in bullying behaviour today. Now, death words, of course, may lead to anxiety and even depression, sadness, anger, alienation, feelings of being alone, of being isolated, feelings of just physically being sick, an inability to cope, possibly inability to concentrate, a loss of sleep at night, worrying about meeting the person that's doing the bullying and so on. And death words can lead to certainly low self-esteem, shame, embarrassment, thoughts about wanting to run away, thoughts of self-harm, and thoughts of even suicide. Death words. And as I said before, they stay with us. Death words stay with us. There's probably, every single one of us can probably think of something that someone said to us years ago that has stayed with us in our head, even though it was possibly innocently said, but it has made a negative impact upon us. And God hates death words, not merely because he is the relational God who draws us into relationship with him and into relationship with each other as God's people. Therefore, he hates death words because they alienate. But he hates death words because death words are precisely words from Madame Folly. They are foolish words. And the mouth of the fool gushes folly, 15 verse 2. And that's why it is said in Proverbs chapter 6 that, among other things, the Lord hates a lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood, hearts that devise wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness that pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. God hates death words, and that's why in the end he will have the last word. He will act in judgment, ultimately mocking those who deride and ridicule others, for he will mock them. Similarly, in Proverbs chapter 17, the judgment of God is spoken of: whoever mocks the poor shows contempt for their maker, whoever gloats over disaster will not go unpunished. God hates death words. And in the end, such folly on the lips shows the heart of the person. For it is the fool who has no knowledge on their lips, with a warning to the wise to stay away from such a person. Well, let's look at some of these death words, and I've just got a few here. I'm going to race through them. Boasting and pride are on the top of the list, I thought, because in Proverbs 14:3, a fool's mouth lashes out with pride, but the lips of the wise protect them. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. These people are also mentioned about those who gloat over their enemy when they fall. Pride and arrogance. These words from chapter 27 are addressed to the pride. Do not boast about tomorrow, the boastful tongue. Don't boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what that day may bring. What a day may bring. Let someone else praise you, not your own mouth, an outsider and not your own lips. Death words, boasting. Now, I know this is a bit of a shotgun approach today to Proverbs and speech, but there will be words that you think, that I need to think more about that. I need to pray about that. And if you're not thinking that, then your wife is thinking that about you, all right? So maybe you could have a discussion on the way home in the car. I know my wife's already got some ammunition for me already, because in the break I said something that was rather foolish. It was very funny, but it was rather foolish. So I'm going to, you know, be sharpened on the way home myself. Okay, boasting and pride. Second word here that I want to look at is gossip. Spreading rumours or stories about other people's personal lives leads to relational death. A perverse person stirs up conflict. A gossip separates close friends. And from chapter 20:19, a gossip betrays a confidence, so avoid anyone who talks too much. You'll all be going out the side door today, I suspect. Death words, boasting and gossip. Lies and deception. Like a club or a sword or a sharp arrow is one who gives false testimony against a neighbour. Like a maniac shooting of flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbour and says, "Oh, I was only joking." Lies and deception. We are indeed to speak the truth, are we not? And we'll get to the truth that we are to speak shortly. But let us not be characterised by being a person or people who do not tell the truth. Lies and deception are from the table of Madame Folly. Rash and hasty and quick words given without thought, and this is something that I particularly struggle with. If you do talk to Sally, you could form a queue afterwards probably. She'll be able to furnish many occasions, even in the last week, where I've spoken hasty words without thought. Do you see a man who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than him. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears. Now, there's a thought, isn't it? There's a picture. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel not their own. So we need to be very careful in opening our mouths, not running into quarrels, because hasty words, words given without thought, are death words, and death words also that fuel and escalate anger. A gentle answer turns away wrath, from Proverbs 15, our reading today. But harsh words only stir up anger. Here is the foolishness of death words that escalate anger and that don't bring the anger levels down. Now, this is a very important verse for us to grab hold of in our current community and society, where we may well be confronted with very angry people, with very angry words to us. And we need to be very wise in how we respond to them, and in not only the words that we say, but the tone in which we deliver our response. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words only stir up anger. So we've looked at a few of the words from the table, or from the menu, if you like, of Madame Folly's diner. Let's now look at Lady Wisdom and life words. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There's lots of things to say from the book of Proverbs about death words and life words. I've just chosen a few, but here's the first one of the life words, and these are encouraging words, words of encouragement. From Proverbs chapter 12, an anxious heart weighs a man down, but kind words cheer him up. Our tongue has the power to encourage others or to discourage, life or death, to build up or to crush. We really need to understand this. We need to understand this in our homes, with our spouse, with our children, if we have a spouse and children, if we're living with flatmates. We need to understand these things. Life words, death words. It's very significant. And a word of encouragement is so important. Take your children, if you have any. Sorry to be using kids if you don't have children. Apply it to your own situation. Now, often I've been caused to reflect the number of discouraging words, like, you know, tidy your bedroom, clean up after yourself, you know, do the dishes, all that sort of stuff. You know, the standard fare for a dad, versus encouraging words. The experts tell us that, as a ratio, encouraging words to discouraging words, the encouraging words really need to be, like, I don't know if it's 5-1, or I'm not quite sure, I can't remember. I should have really checked, but you think, oh, well, 50-50 will be okay. No, it's actually a lot more. And as your kids get older and communicate with you less and maybe move out, and or if they're still there and they're not really communicating as much because they're sort of sleeping until midday, going out and partying into all the early hours of the morning, and you don't talk with them as much over the dinner table as you did, then you've got to be even more careful about the ratio of life words and death words to them. Words of encouragement. Anxious hearts weighs a man down, but kind words cheer him up. Think about church. There are new people here today. It's absolutely fantastic you're here. Brilliant. I hope that we give you some encouragement today. And if you're a regular here, I hope and pray that you will give encouraging words to others, especially to the new person, who may even have come with an anxious heart and weighed down, we don't know. But these words are so important that we would encourage each other, and of course to encourage each other in the Lord Jesus Christ. A soothing tongue, it's a tree of life, Proverbs 15. But a perverse, a stubborn tongue crushes the spirit. A man finds joy in giving an apt reply. How good it is when a timely word is spoken. Pleasant and gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. Words of encouragement. We need to grab a hold of this. Now, some other words. Deconflicting, if I can use that word, words. Words that de-escalate or de-conflict. Proverbs 17:14 says, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam. You know, breaking open the dam and there's all that water behind it. You know what's going to happen. It's just going to get bigger and bigger. Disaster. That's what starting a quarrel is like. Well, we really need to take on Lady Wisdom, don't we? So drop a matter before a dispute breaks out. A gentle answer turns away wrath, as we've said already a number of times. This is not dealing with starting a quarrel. This is dealing with de-escalating a quarrel to calm things down. But harsh words only stir up anger. Thirdly, showing restraint or holding the tongue. In fact, this can be indeed a life word, because if you open your mouth, it'll be a death word. So let's just spin it round and show the positive. Showing restraint and holding the tongue can also be seen as life words given, because you've been wise in how you've spoken. The one who has knowledge uses words with restraint. Whoever has understanding is even tempered. As I've already said, do you see someone who speaks in haste? There's more hope for a fool than them. So we do need to be wise in when we speak. Showing restraint. Giving correction. Whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favour, rather than one who has a flattering tongue. One who's a flattering tongue is not speaking to bring any correction into a person's life. They're just mirroring what the other person wants to hear with flattery. But whoever rebukes a person will in the end gain favour. And it's better an open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. This is a great balance, isn't it, between the words of encouragement that we need to give to each other. Because it's not just encouragement, encouragement, encouragement. Oh, I don't want to say a harsh word to that person or correct them. No, it is that we do need to give correction. Better an open rebuke than some sort of hidden love. No, a friend indeed, and the wounds that a friend may inflict, you can trust them. So be the good friend. Say the hard words when you need to. But we do need to be careful here when we're giving correction, and the book of Proverbs warns us about this, because it says in chapter 9, verse 7, whoever corrects a mocker invites an insult, and whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Because people who are mockers, people who have dined at the table of Madame Folly, are not going to want to hear any correction at all. And we see this on the news pretty well every night, where someone's tried to correct someone else, only to have that person that is in the wrong biting back at them. So we do need to be wise in how we correct other people. Do not answer a fool, according to his folly, or you yourself will be like them. We do need wisdom in this. Take this as an example. A person that you know is hot-tempered and gets angry with people pretty easily, okay? So you've lived with that person, or you've worked with that person, or you've spent time with that person, and you've said a couple of very kind words. They might even be a Christian. You've said some kind words to them. Didn't realise, the word that you said was quite... Now, if they keep on doing this, I can assure you that you'll be very tempted after 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 20 years, you'll be very tempted to go to that person when they fly off the handle. You'll be going, mate, what are you doing? And you yourself are caught up in the same thing that you're accusing them of. We need to be careful that we don't get sucked into just joining in with their folly. But genuine friendship provides good correction just as iron sharpens iron. And finally, I want to have a quick word on teaching. Because the teachings of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death. And here I think we see that these words that we're looking at today, going beyond mere horizontal relationships to help each other in our speech, to help each other in our relationships, in the home, in the workplace, in church. This is where our eyes are turned to the relationship that we were all created for, relationship with God. For wise words, word from Lady Wisdom, will ultimately lead us and the person that we're speaking to, ultimately will lead them to God, who is wisdom. It'll ultimately lead them to God, who is relationship, that they, in their relationship with God, would draw near and know him. Because this teaching of the wise is a fountain of life. Don't you hear Jesus in John chapter 7? Believe in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him, referring to the Holy Spirit that will come and give new life to the person whose relationship with God has been restored through Christ. Jesus is the one who gives this life through his Spirit, and he is the one who ultimately protects us from the snares of death. Friends, we have the words of eternal life. If you know Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. There's no other name under heaven by which anyone can be saved. There's no religion on this earth where we can try and get up to God. No, Christ has come into our world, has taken on flesh, fully and finally speaking God to us and dying for our sins that we could be forgiven. And the words of wisdom that we can give to others is the words of eternal life, that they may know of Christ. So I want to end with, I think I might have ended four times already today. I just realised I've said that a couple of times. Sorry about that. But words and the Christian. Well, let's read from Proverbs 4:20. I don't know if you can read this, but those who can, let's read this together. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all of your ways. There you go. This is dining at the table of Lady Wisdom, to guard our hearts, because it is out of the heart that the mouth speaks. So guard your heart. So what happens to your heart when you're bumped? What happens to you when you're bumped? What comes out of you when you're bumped is a good indication of what's going on in our heart. So keep your heart, guard your heart. But I need to say, this is something that we struggle with. Words are something that we will struggle with through this life. We have been redeemed by Christ. We've been forgiven. We've got a new King. We've got his Spirit within us. But we will continue to struggle, as we looked at in Romans chapter 7. Oh, what a wretched man I am, Paul says. But thanks be to God, Jesus is going to deliver me from this body of death. So I didn't want this talk to end with just mere moralism. You know, pull your socks up. You know, cut back on your swearing, don't speak too hastily and so on and so forth, and you'll be a better person. That won't be a bad thing, but we have to look beyond this. What do we do when we fail? What do we do? Because we will. I've failed. I've failed with my saying something to my daughter within the last 2 weeks. It was very minor, really, but I'm sensitive. And I had to apologise to her. It wasn't bad language. It was just a minor comment. It came out wrong, incorrectly. We will fail. What do we do? Actually, Proverbs chapter 30. ends, second last chapter, we see one who acknowledges before God his ignorance, his failure to truly learn, his inability on his own to attain to the knowledge and understanding of the wisdom and of Almighty God. And we're reminded here that we too will struggle with sin. But thanks be to God, Jesus is our deliverer. Foreseen here, I think, in Proverbs chapter 30, he is the Word of God who is flawless, and he is the shield for those who take refuge in him. So our call is to come to Jesus. Continue to come to Jesus. Don't hide your sin, as Proverbs 28 says. Don't hide from your sin, for whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses it and renounces it finds mercy. So come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, who is the Word made flesh, whose speech is flawless, who is our shield, because as 1 Peter chapter 1, 22 says, Jesus committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Jesus truly feared God. Jesus is the true son of the book of Proverbs. He is the wisdom of God. And in him, he is our shield. All our shortcomings, all our failures, all of the words that we've said in the past that we know we cannot really take back, all of the words that you feel guilty for, Christ has died for every single one of them. He is a shield for those who take refuge in him. He is flawless. He is spotless. No deceit found in his mouth. Come to him. Learn from him. Trust him for the forgiveness, to take away our guilt. And then as 1 Peter chapter 2, 22 to 24 says, he bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. Good speech for Jesus.